Everybody will be happy, we'll be happy over there. We will shout and we'll sing all God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, we'll be happy. Over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon his glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout. Sing all God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, will be singing round that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will. Sing all God's praises, everybody will be. Oh, I like this verse. Oh, there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody. Shout and we'll sing all God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. It certainly is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Don't worry tonight. I'm just as shocked to be looking at you from this point as you are to be looking at me from that way. But amen. We're here tonight just to praise his name. Amen. To worship him, give him all the glory and honor. Amen. If you don't want to shake anybody's hand tonight, just put your hands in your pockets and tell somebody God bless you. Let's sing that one more time tonight. Oh, there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and we'll sing all God's praises. Everybody will be over there. Oh, one more time. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and we'll sing all God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you to be seated tonight. Amen. We have quite a few prayer requests this evening. I want to just please pray for Brother Jackie Strayer from West Virginia. He's sick, in need of our prayers tonight. Also, want to please remember the Ayers family with the passing of Sister Dorothy Ayers. I believe they had buried her today in Beckley, so we just want to continue to remember that family in our prayers this evening. I want to remember Brother Nate Painter's niece, McKenna, 15 years old, and took an overdose of medication and is in ICU. So we certainly want to remember that need this evening. Amen. Remember that family as well there. Amen. Want to remember Brother Howard, Sister Anita Collins, both sick with viruses. Also, Michaela's little boy is also sick, so I want to remember those needs this evening. I want to please pray for Sister Linda, I believe it's Loris, sick, having chest pains. I want to remember that need this evening. Also, Sister Linda Kennedy wants to thank everyone for their prayers, cards, during her illness. Also wants everyone to know that she loves and appreciates them. So, amen, certainly thankful for that little testimony tonight. Also, Sister Linda Kreger and her mom ask for prayers visiting her sister-in-law, Laurie, who is really sick. So we want to remember Sister Krager's sister-in-law. Also, Brother Jackie Roberts, homesick this evening. Want to remember him in prayer. Also, please pray for Sister Christine Baker, who has flu-like symptoms. Also, continue to pray for Brother Baker, who is sick with congestion and cough. They both thank God in advance for their healing. Amen. So we want to claim that with them tonight. Sister Victoria Thomas from Georgia called, a little testimony. Wanted to thank everyone for their prayers, for Brother Donnie, all the ministers here for preaching the truth. She's currently able to walk without a cane, doing better with the help of the Lord. She just asked for continued prayers for her financial situation to improve for her children's issues at school. So we certainly want to thank the Lord for that and remember that need once again as well. Also, I want to remember Sister Brenda Harmon. I would like to thank everyone for their prayers and visits. And she's very glad to be back in church this evening. Amen. So I want to thank the Lord for her return. Also, Sister Tiffany Woodfin says that had a follow-up appointment this week. They were testing her for leukemia. So they thought she had it. And the results has shown that she does not have leukemia. Amen. So give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that tonight. Amen. Amen. If you would stand to your feet tonight, Brother Terry, would you come take us before the Lord in prayer? Amen. How many has a need on your heart tonight? Amen.
As we sing the song, everybody will be happy over there, but, you know, I'm kind of happy in this journey here. Not that we're happy about this land here, but, you know, I've always said, you know, happiness is not a destination, but it's a way of travel. People say, well, I'll be happy when. No, if you're not happy then, what about now? But if you're truly sealed into the kingdom, you're happy now. What a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I am so happy to be back in church. I am so thankful, Lord, to be part of the eternal kingdom. Lord, even the Beatitudes, we think about it, says, blessed are the man, but it's really one translation, is happy is the man. Each one of those Beatitudes, we are happy because we know the will of the Lord. The prophet says we know what he wants done with the word because we are the word, and that's our Lord and our life and our anointing, and Lord, our whole focus is Jesus Christ, the word. We're thankful, Lord, for the plan of redemption. We're thankful, Lord, that you had a chosen bride. How thankful, Lord, we've been listening and hearing these things and pronunciations and acclamations that for the last couple of years, showing who we are, trying to get the bride to recognize who she is, because truly the rapture is just around the corner. And Lord, even those that are beginning, those that are coming in, maybe one here, one there, we know it's been gleaning time for many, many years, Lord, but we're still happy to see one come in occasionally or rededicate their life. We're thankful for that. Pray for these requests that I hold in my hand. And I ask, Lord, because we know you're never present help in a time of trouble. Lord, the price has already been paid for not only for redemption, but also for healing. And Brother Jack Strader and the Ayers family in West Virginia, be with both of them and just touch them. And the many requests that was given in for sickness in the local assembly, and each one that has a need, and upraised hands, perhaps unsaved loved ones outside the ark of safety, brood over each one of them. Lord, we know that the time is really, really near. I pray that you just help them to shake off the anointing of Laodicea, brood over their heart that they might find a focus and that their direction will be toward the true North Star, so to speak, and they'll put their minds on Christ. Bless the anointed Brother Donnie to speak tonight. May it be a time of refreshing around the Word. Lord, continue to anoint the song leader. Does he just gives the instruction to sing and exhortation? May we just have a wonderful time of fellowship around the Word tonight. We're good. It's so good to be here. We're happy to be Christians. We love you. Heal each one and make them well. And we will certainly be waiting for testimonies for what you're going to do tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's just sing this little chorus as the offering to be lifted this evening. Amen. Want to make an announcement. Registration for Louisiana Camp is closed. You can get on their waiting list, though. If you're already registered, make sure you're on the bus list in the library, Brother Wes Willis. So just remember that if you're going to camp, to get registered and let Brother Wes know. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus. Thanks, thanks. I'll give you thanks for all that you've done. Amen. We could spend the rest of our lives thanking Him, but it would never be sufficient. Amen. Let's just sing that to Him tonight. Oh, thanks, thanks. I'll give you thanks for all you've done. Oh, I am so blessed. My soul has found a rest. Oh, Lord, I'll give you thanks. Melvin Lynch, Sister Lindsay, they have a song for us tonight. Let's just sing this little chorus as they come. I don't know if this is in the computer or not, but we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus this evening as they come. Oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, give me your hand. Oh, let's agree together. Oh, that all our enemies will crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And at the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. this verse. Oh, for many years now, Satan's tried to stop us. Oh, but the bride of Jesus, she's still alive. Oh, and like a mighty army, we keep marching onward. Oh, winning every battle with the Lord by our side. Oh, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. Oh, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated this evening.
You know, I've had back trouble for years and years and years, and finally resulted in rods in my back. And they tell me that I'll be on medication the rest of my life. But you know that I've got news for them and the devil. I've got a miracle in the making. You know, if he's able to raise stones to Abraham, he's able to create vertebrae in your back.
Though the crowd was great, she knew she had to reach him, for this was her last hope of ever being here. So she pressed through until she touched his garment. Oh, right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. And there's a miracle in the making. There's one just for you, your Father. He's working it right now. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. For there's a miracle in the making for you today. Have you prayed and prayed, but still you have no answer? Has your faith grown weak, and you feel you're walking all alone? Don't give up, for the God you serve will never leave you. There's a miracle for you, just keep holding on. One just for you, your Father, he's working it.
fire for the gospel's sake. They built a fire around his feet and tied him to a stake. But the fire would not consume him, so they pierced him with a sword. The blood ran down, put out the fire, but still he praised the Lord. Now all these years I've served him, he's done me nothing but good. Well, I won't repent and I won't recant, just tell me why I should.
Is that the right lingo for that? He ain't never. Amen. If we're in the South, that's right. Amen. He ain't never done me nothing but good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's sing that song, Sheltered in the Arms of God, as Brother Donnie would come tonight. I trust you come with an expectation in your hearts. Amen. Pull upon the gift and let God's servant speak to you tonight. Amen. Let's just sing this little chorus.
So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Amen. Aren't you so glad He walks with me and not again. Father, what a great privilege that is. Your left hand is under our head and your right hand does embrace us. So we truly are sheltered in the arms of God. We are so grateful, Father, that you have called us to yourself, that you by your grace has beckoned to us in a supernatural way. Not our mother or father, wasn't somebody that came back and begged us to the altar by emotions, but something moved upon us from another realm. For that, we're so grateful. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us. We stand in need here tonight, Father, as we approach your word. I ask that you would help me, Lord. If I can be able to give to them just a little bit of what you've helped me see today, we'll be so blessed. Come this way, Lord Jesus. Speak to us by your great words, Father. We thank you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, if you would. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You know where that was placed at? In the temple, in the Holy of Holies. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Yes, also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And let me read you this from the Inner Veil in paragraph 28. And a man never knows what it is to live a victorious life until he's completely overcome. Then he asks the question, then he answers it. Who? Himself. That's the biggest enemy you got, is yourself. That's the reason you can't rise up in faith, because you've got intellectuals there. Your intellectual part says, well, this or that, and it's reasoning. But we want to cast down reasonings, the Bible tells us. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again tonight. I'm an overcomer in the galleries, and my title might seem strange to you as we start for just a little bit, but just follow with me. Several of the early church fathers compared the writings of Solomon to a ladder with three steps. Ecclesiastes being the natural, or the natural sensible things of life. Ecclesiastes. Proverbs being morality or morals and virtues. But the Song of Solomon being mystical, or the figurative union between Christ and the bride spiritually. The Jews compared Proverbs to the outer court of the temple. Ecclesiastes to the holy place, but the Song of Solomon to the Holy of Holies. Ecclesiastes sets forth the vanity of self-love and the love for things. The Song of Solomon sets forth the purity and perfection of the believer to their Creator. The Shulamite that we've been looking at for several months now, however long it's been, she is not a princess by birth. She is not of royal blood or royal descent. Quite a simple type person. Naive, very untrained, unlearned in the things of the world. Not a king's daughter, more of a rustic country type of girl. A girl that would not, you would think, catch royalty's attention. Certainly not one of a social standing of very high. Then it would be peculiar, I guess, in one way that Solomon would fall in love with her. And remember, I'm talking about an overcoming. You're thinking, what in the world has that got to do with overcoming? Give me a few minutes. Yet in body and in soul, she was born to be a princess. In reality, you look at her, she was certainly not born in that sense. But her call was one of a higher calling. Aren't you glad? You see, the ability of her to ever see herself as Solomon did would take a great deal of overcoming. Because she knew what she was. She knew her parents. She knew where she came from. To ever believe what he was going to say about her would almost be to can this be real? There's no way that it could be this way, that he has fallen in love with me, a country hick, as we'd call it, a nobody, a person that the majority of the world would never even know I was on the earth. And yet this great king says he loves me. Now, let me make you aware of something that the early church fathers, the Jews, the apostolic fathers, most of them wrote or preached something about the Song of Solomon. They saw in it a great mystical value of something laying there that was more than just the words per se on the page. Now, somewhere in the, after the time of the Second Reformation, there raised up a theologian that began to project into the Song of Solomon that there was a shepherd boy who actually had fallen in love with the shepherd girl, the Shulamite woman, and that actually she left Solomon and went back to marry him. Now, this was, you know, quite a shocking thing, I'm sure, for many. And as this man began to talk about this, and by his conjecture, he began to read into the Song of Solomon what he felt like, what he thought was another person that was actually quoting and saying things from the Song of Solomon. But, you know, this was not accepted, of course, by the apostolic fathers. And when you look at it in the sense of types, to me, looking at it my simple way, it would not be a very difficult thing for a shepherdess to marry a shepherd. It would not be a very great testimony of the saving power of God for one to marry her own kind or her own status. So to me, when I read the Song of Solomon, I see in it a great picture of God's grace that is so far beyond a shepherd marrying a shepherdess. I see a king, the greatest king that was at this time, marrying a peasant girl. A girl of low estate. Now, as I said, the apostolic fathers never projected this. The scripture does not say it. And as a matter of fact, you'll never find Brother Branham ever saying that the shepherd married this shepherd girl. So I want you now, as we look into this tonight from a little different angle, I want you to follow with this thought in mind. Now that the shepherd girl has found favor in the eyes of this great King Solomon. Now, when the mystery of the Song of Solomon goes to being unveiled, the very mystery of it itself in the very first verse, chapter 1, verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Now, this is not the only song. As a matter of fact, he wrote about 1,004. But this one is the Song of Songs. So this one is the capping off of all that he done. Of all of his songs, of all of the wisdom that God gave to him, this one is the Song of Songs. Now, notice in the title or the heading of this, as it identifies in mystery form truly, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. Now, this, of course, is a Hebrew word, and we know that Shalomino, which is the masculine form, and Shulamite is the feminine form of the same Hebrew word. But I want you to realize and look with me in verse 2, the very first person that we find speaking in the Song of Solomon, who it is. Now, there's about four or so different groups that actually speak in this Song of Solomon. Now, keep in mind, what I'm talking about tonight is an overcomer. About four different individuals or groups of people actually speak interactively in the Song of Solomon. One is the bridegroom, one is the bride, the daughters, and of course the guests that are around them at various times. But the very first person that we hear speaking is in verse 2, and it is the bride. Now, for those of you who do not know, the Song of Solomon was actually read on the second Sabbath of Pentecost after the Passover. The book of Ruth was also written, or read rather, in this festival of times. And the book of Esther was written in the month of Adar, in the time of Purim. So notice these three books, which are bride types, that are written in the time of Passover, Pentecost, and redemption. Now we know God was hiding the Gentile bride's identity in this. Now listen to the Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 2 and keep in mind now who this is. This is the Shulamite, which had been introduced to the king. Now part of this we've been through before, but I haven't quite placed it before you in a chronological way the way I want to do it tonight by the help of the Lord. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now, the thought that was introduced by this German theologian in the Second Reformation was that this Shulamite was actually captured, and she was taken away from her lover, the shepherd boy out there, and she was actually captured against her will. And she was brought to the palace, and she's going to be forced to marry Solomon. But I want you to notice now, and I ask you with this in mind, does this sound like a woman who's wanting to go back to her old life? No. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now, for those who feel like that we are under some kind of spell, and that we've drunk some kind of funny Kool-Aid,
And we are being made to believe what we believe. And we are here against our will. Let me let you know tonight, whether you are German or French or American or whatever more, we are here because we choose to be here. And we are simply corresponding to the choice of Him who chose us before we had the ability to choose Him. We are not made to dress the way we dress. We are not made to live the way we live. We are not made to come to church 3 times a week. We are not made to worship our God, to pay our tithes, to have a godly desire to be right. We want to be where we are. There ain't nobody making us be here tonight. Praise be to God. Amen. And if you want to know the truth of it, come and ask us. We'll tell you. And this is our response back. Let Him kiss us with the kisses of His mouth. For His love is better than wine. Amen. We don't want Laodicea's drunken stupor. We've been out there. We've been drunk on her wine. We've been drunk on her riches, drunk on her thing. But now we are drinking from the cup of the Lord Jesus Himself. And we are here not because somebody is twisting our arm. We would choose Him any day out of the week over the devil. We would be a child of God. We would serve Him and live for Him in the very worst of times. For the worst day I ever had as a child of God could be better than any day I could ever have living for the devil. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the Savior of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. Draw me. Oh, hallelujah. What with? Again, not chains, not because we're made. What are we drawn with? Cords of love tied around the altar of God that anchors in the predestinated mind of God. Amen. Draw us, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're drawn tonight? You're drawn by the Spirit of God. Draw me with cords of love. Notice what will happen after He does His part. Draw me and we will run after thee. You see the order of this? We will not run first and then He will draw. He will draw, then we will run. We have left Lebanon. We have left Egypt. We have left the lion's dens and where the leopards dwell. We have left that and we are in the palace of the King. Praise be to God. Draw me and we will run after thee. The King hath brought me into His chambers. The King hath brought me into His chambers. We will be glad. Mad? Is she mad because she's there? She aggravated? I wish they'd leave me alone. She is so glad. If the blessings get any better, she don't know how she's going to be able to take it. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. But you see, this is her problem. Verse 5. She could relate to a shepherd boy. She could relate to someone beneath her. And friend, I don't know if you understand this sometimes, but sometimes it still is in our human flesh and in our subconscious that we are not worthy of these blessings. Some of you still in your natural makeup can think you deserve the devil as your husband and deserve hell as your home. But notice what she says. I am black Now that the church, the bride, has obtained Christ and he's drawn her into his chambers, she's still struggling with this within herself. I'm sinful. I've done this in my past. I've done that. And I'm still human. I make mistakes. I fall short of the glory of God. She said, I'm black, but comely. She gives this character of herself. And who's she telling this to? Notice, I am black but comely. Oh, you daughters of Jerusalem. She ain't telling him. But this is what she's telling the people that she's around every day. Now in church, she may say, hey man, I believe that. Yes, sir, I'm the predestinated of God. But whenever she's going through trials and going through tests, and when she's at home and on the job and she's out of the atmosphere of the courts of God, then that's when her heart really spills out of who she thinks she really is. And then she says, I am black becoming, oh, you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. So in her eyes, there's still this original sin and actual transgression and shortcomings. How many still has shortcomings? How many's had to repent since last weekend? How many's had to repent since Wednesday? How many's had to repent since this morning? It's 10 minutes till 8. How many's had to repent since quarter till? You see, in the eyes of Christ, she is able to see that he says that about her. But the way she looks at it, he calls her his fair one. He calls her the fairest of all. And then he just says she's completely perfect. And she acknowledges that that's true. But within herself, she says, I'm still black. I'm still scarred by this. I've been out in the sun and it has burnt me. Oh my. Notice she says, I am black. But come, all you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. Now, of course, Kedar was one of those of the Ishmaelite tribes of the Arabs, and they used the black tents, and they were well worn and weathered because they moved about from one place to another because they were shepherds. Now, there's one thing that I noticed today as I was going back through the Song of Solomon. I noticed how this shepherd girl kept talking about sheep and shepherds. This girl must have been a church girl. Praise the Lord. Now I want you again to watch how that she likens herself now to the tents of Kedar, because she has seen this being a peasant girl and being out in the life out there and seeing it out as a country girl. No doubt she saw them on the hills and they might be there for a week or 10 days and then they'd move over here and they'd move over there and they'd move somewhere else. And she looked at herself and she saw what's in her. She saw them skins that was draped on the outside of the tent as they would be long black goats. Hair and they would wear them and they would fade in time and they would put them up and take them down and put them up. And she thought within herself, that's the way I am. I have my ups and my downs, my ups and my downs. I'm worn and I'm wore out and I'm over here today and I'm over there tomorrow and I'm over there the next day and I'm moving around. And she looked within herself and said, I am like the tents of Kedar. Her simple language, look at her. She's no theologian. I think, friends, sometimes we get so educated in the message, I believe it makes God about sick to his stomach. Whenever we think we've got so smart and boy, we can quote this and that and the other, and we think we know so much about God. I believe God loves us because of our simplicity, not because we think we're so smart. Oh my, oh God, sheep now. This resemblance that she sees as far as the tents or the tabernacle or the house by where the shepherds went. Church. So the tents of Kedar were gathered together where the tents were, the sheep were. And they didn't have men packing tape players, they had men that knew how to speak. Praise the Lord. Now, notice she goes on in verse 6, and watch as she opens up herself. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. Now, she's not saying that she was a Negro, we know that. But she was blaming this now upon the constant exposure to the sun. And no doubt she was darker than probably what we are today. But yet she was being there. And remember, in this time, it was a great, great sign of royalty to be very, very fair. very light skin. The Egyptians, being Coptics, which was very much sought after by the people of this area, they were very fair and very light skinned. And it was a sign that they had never been out and working in the fields and never doing anything out in the world, out in the sun, because they was able to keep their fair complexion. But here she looks at herself and she says, look at me. I'm so dark. I'm suntanned. I've got this ring around my neck, and I've been out in the fields, and I've labored, and all these things are against me. That's not what he saw when he looked at her. She may have looked at herself in the mirror and she saw a ring. Oh my, what does the sun tend to do? It tends to dry out and put wrinkles here and wrinkles there. And that's what she saw. But oh my, when he looked at her, his heart beat real fast. And he said, you look around and you might be able to find one man in 1,000 that's really good. But he said, you can't find one woman in 10,000. And he began to think, my, there ain't none left, until he went over to Galilee and the back country of Galilee, and there he found one. Oh, hallelujah! That excelled them all. Who can find a virtuous woman? He could answer himself in the Song of Solomon and say, I have. In Proverbs, he didn't think it's possible, but once he got in behind the veil, he said, I found her. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. So it burned her, tanned her, so dark. She wasn't royalty nowhere, but she sure wouldn't look like royalty now. Notice her treatment. Because the sun hath looked upon me, my mother's children were angry with me. Notice she doesn't say her father's children. Now watching this as we run the Song of Solomon, I'd like to run two parallels. That there is a natural parallel of a natural man and woman that's in an engagement and fixing to be a spouse or in espousal and moving to a marriage. And then there's also a spiritual aspect of it as well. Now naturally it would seem as if though that her father has died and her mother has remarried, and by that marriage has 2 sons. They're going to speak about her at the end. And them 2 sons are the ones who's persecuting her. Even though they're from the same movement. I mean same mother. Now notice her mother's children, and a mother of course is a movement. So out of this movement that she came out of, there was people that claimed to be her brothers. Well, thank you, Jesus. So what are they? They are carnal professors. They are carnal impersonators. But yet they are identifying themselves as being part of the family. And of course, as it comes right on down to the press and the persecution, they will basically boot her out and get rid of her and try to force her to start preaching the gospel and say that they are the original ones. Don't you get quiet on me now. Hallelujah. But Solomon's done got his eye on her. Let me tell you something, friend. Laodicea may want to get rid of you. All the liberals may want to get rid of you. Some of the message folks may want to get rid of you. But Jesus has had his eye on you. Jesus has got a place for you. My mother's children were angry with me. Angry with me. Because she kept a standard. She kept guidelines. She kept do's and don'ts and this and that and the other. And her mother's children got angry at her. It's the same with the bride today. They try to find fault with her teaching, but really they can find no mistakes. So if they can't find one, they make it up. Right. So what did they do? They pressured me. They came against me. They were angry with me. And they made me the keeper of the vineyards. Now this is twofold. But my own vineyard have not I kept. So now they are bringing pressure against her to do this and that and the other. And what it's doing, it's actually paralyzing her own walk with God because of trying to make them happy. And all the time, all this is going on out in the sun. So now she is a shepherd. But now she's also got to take care of their vineyards while they're piled up in the house eating moon pies and drinking RC Colas. So she's out there keeping the shop, or the sheep rather, and they're, oh my, just piled up in there watching as the world burns, I mean as the world turns, and checking their Facebook and this and that and the other, and she's out there in the sun, and my, she's getting more scorched and sunburn and sunburn. Her hope of ever finding a real man that'll ever love her seems like that it's getting farther and farther away. She's getting darker and darker and further and further, but God had one heading her direction. Thank you, Jesus. My, they were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Now this upsets Christ. It ain't enough for you to just be a good mama or a good daddy or a good father. You've got to have a walk with God. Don't take care of everybody else's business and let your own vineyard spoil and be rotten. The weeds take it over. Now her own spiritual affairs were sadly left undone. Remember Moses taking care of the people of God? Hadn't circumcised his own son? That wasn't God's fault. Now, does this sound like a woman who's wanting to go back to that? Do you all really want to go back to the Baptist church? Any of y'all that was former Methodist, are you wanting to go back and eat out of that hog trough? Any of you that was former Pentecostals, you want to go back to that stuff? Lord, have mercy, no. My goodness, why in the world, as Peter said, where would we go? You have the remas of eternal life. After eating what we've eaten, where could we sit down and eat pure, unadulterated seed word again in any organizational system? Oh my, notice her now in chapter 1, verse 12. Watch her words. While the king set us at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. So her and the king are together. And while she's there, just enough of the spikenard is coming forth. And he raises his head and looks over at her and smiles. She knows that smile. That is a smile of pleasing. She doesn't have to say a thing. It's coming from her person. Again, does this sound like a woman that's wanting to leave? Come on now, devil. If you're going to have to come up with really something to pull this bride away. And let me tell you right up front, you ain't got nothing in heaven or hell or Tennessee that can pull the elect away from God. Make your alcohol as powerful as you want it. We've got some that's more powerful already. Make your lust, make your lying, make your adultery, whatever you want to do. We've got a drawing power, a keeping power, a resurrection power, a power of love that's greater than anything hell could ever muster up. Amen. I'm sitting at the table with the king. Why? Because I want to. I live this way because I want to. I preach this way because I want to live this way. Nobody is making me. God ain't holding me over hell. And say, Donnie, if you don't do it, I'll throw you in hell. I don't serve God by fear. I serve God by love. But you see, I've got to overcome. I've got to overcome myself. Some of you think overcoming yourself is drinking, lust, and adultery and lying. That may be part of it. But that's not all of who you are. Many of y'all overcome that years ago. That don't even bother you no more. So what's bothering you now? for most of us being able to see ourselves like this right here. Because you live with yourself. And you know your human errors. You know your mistakes and your frailties. Chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am lovesick. Sick of love. I don't mean she's sick of it and don't want no more. I mean she's had so much. She wants some more and some more and some more. Man, I don't know about you. I've been serving God since I was a little bitty old guy, 12 years old. The more Holy Ghost I get, the more I want. Amen. I've known him and speaking in tongues. I've known him in dreams and visions. I've known him and him letting, taking my lips and speaking another language out of me and forecast the future. Oh my. And I'll tell you one thing. I ain't tired of him tonight. The more I feel him, the more I want to. The more I go to church, the more I want to go to church. The more I study his word. Hallelujah. The more I want to study it. The more I look into that great premise of the scripture. The more I say, Lord, pour it in so I can pour it out to them. Amen. I want more, Lord. I want more. I want more power, more word, more revival. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Solomon fell in love with a woman whose social rank was so far beneath him that he couldn't even go to her house and get her on the day they're going to get married. So he sends 60 bodyguards. In case y'all don't know it, I found a new job description for me and every true man of God today. A new job description. I'm a bodyguard. I'm here to help guard the body. The body. You see, that which had attached her to him and him to her was not just her natural beauty, but it was a character. About another, this man could pretty much have any woman that he wanted as far as looking at that way. But he fell in love with the simple, naive, modest, genteel, pushed around sometimes, sunburned, abused by others. And he's driving him crazy. He couldn't live without her. Oh God. Not your kingly type, you'd think. Praise God. What did he find? A beautiful lily out in the field. Going to go on. You realize we cannot understand this great mystery unless we really, by the mind of God, look into it, because it's so far above what our thinking can be. You imagine this man that had such wisdom, yet this simple girl is going to teach the profound one simplicity. She is going to have such power over him, she will pull him down to her level. Solomon was a city boy. Remember, his mama was Bathsheba, the favorite of David's wives. No doubt one of the most protected boys in all the palace of King David. Oh, he loved gardens and all that, but yet, you know, this boy was protected and watched over by all the bodyguards, but this girl was a country girl. And she loved the fields, and she loved all them different things out there. Glory to God. She is actually going to pull him down to her level. And then he's going to pull her up to his. Thank you, Lord God. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Don't you see what you did? You pulled him down to your level. You couldn't go to where he was, so your love for him and his need for you pulled him down to your level. And once you brought him down, he could bring you up. Thank you, Lord. Now, once you notice the scripture, now Paul was a funny sort of a guy. Paul believed this seed stuff, this predestination stuff, this weird doctrine, you know. Paul said, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. You see, they were already his brethren before the incarnation of Christ. Ooh. They were already his brethren. Glory to God. You was already his before you was ever a mortal. You were his brethren before he was made flesh. That's the very reason he came here. You being naive, you being simple, you not appealing to the world, and yet your love, the power you had over him, brought him down to this earth to be laughed at, made fun of, and ridiculed. Now, we dealt with some of these things quite some time back, but I didn't chronologically place it, so you'll be able to see in the time frame where it fits. Now let's look, if you would, in chapter 3, verse 6. This is the beginning of the wedding procession in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Now this is the bridal procession. They see this procession march coming in, but they don't recognize who the lady is. So this procession coming from toward Galilee. Oh my, there's great, stout, strong soldiers. There's this aroma of frankincense and myrrh. There's these plaited green wreaths. And there is this matata under huppah, a tent with four stakes, and a matara. I'll let you wonder what that is. And then someone, as it were, in Jerusalem says, who is this? Because they're looking and saying, oh my, must be a wedding going on. But they look at her and say, do you know her? I don't believe I do. Do you know her? I don't think I do. Well, didn't somebody say Solomon was getting married today? What? I thought surely I would know all of his wives. I mean, is she the princess of Egypt? Is she a princess of war? Who is this? Oh, glory to God. You see, the same question was going to be asked about her Lord. And Matthew 21:10, when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So notice they're not asking, who is this Solomon? Because Solomon is not yet quite in view, but they see her and they see this grand procession, and it's a little bit out of the normal, because normally the bridegroom would go to the daughter, the father's house, and get the daughter, and then he would come back. That's the parable in Matthew 25, whenever Jesus gives it to us there. That's exactly the way it was in that day. But here, it's a little bit different. You don't see Solomon there, but you see all these other parts, and they're thinking, who is this? I don't understand this, because I don't see the groom. The unrecognized presence of God. So they see her, and they see all the smoke, and they see all this going on. They said, but where's the groom at? Who's the groom to this bride? Who is this? You see, the same question was asked about her as well. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 9. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, as terrible as an army with banners? He has wrought such a change in her that she was unrecognizable. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Now notice, not pillars of fire. Because she ain't the pillar of fire. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Who is this lady? I mean, we can tell that she's in this matata, she's in this beer. We can tell all this great thing, and the purple's around it, and the curtains is all drawn around. We can't exactly see if she's, but who in the world is this? This is the most peculiar wedding I've ever seen in my life. Where's the bridegroom at? And so, can you imagine the audacity of this country girl? She's going to get married on the same day King Solomon is? Can you imagine her setting up her wedding day on the same day? Oh, glory to God. She never set it up on the same day he did. I never set up my wedding day on his day. He set up my day and his day on the same day. Glory to God. Can you imagine the audacity of this person? Whispering. Somebody told me, is that maiden, that maiden girl, the one from Galilee? Oh my goodness. Well, she should draw it up as a raisin. I've seen her a few times going in and out of the temple. I thought she was cleaning up in there. She wasn't cleaning up, she was wiping out the king, taking his whole heart, just being herself. She wasn't putting on nothing. She wasn't trying to be nothing. She was just being her lovely self. Why, surely it ain't that girl. What? Lord have mercy. Look at that thing she's in. Look at the purple. Why, the floor of it is gold. Look at the outside. It's got the purple on the outside. The columns of that thing must be worth hundreds and hundreds of shekels. That can't be her. Lord have mercy. Who in the world's all them men around her? From this verse on, I'm not responsible for my actions or my altitude. Look at this parallel to Israel. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 6. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. Thine hair is grown. Real daughter of God. See, the devil don't mind you bobbing your hair off. God does. Real true sign, a woman of God's really got growth. She gets cured of scissoritis. Amen. Well, ain't that good? Praise the Lord. Now notice, God is typing Israel, showing what he done. Now let's run this parallel for the bride herself and see what great things God has done for her. When I passed by thee, verse 8, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee. Now, spreading the skirt is the same thing as Ruth pulled up whenever she laid at the feet of Boaz. And she reached up and grabbed a hold of his garment, his skirt as it was, which was begging for an espousal. Cover me. Cover me. Take me to yourself. Redeem me. And your God tells Israel, I spread my skirt of espousal over you. Amen. I betrothed you, in other words. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. Oh, I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. Don't this remind you of you, the way you was out there in the world when the Lord Jesus found you and he come by? Maybe not just only out there in the world alone, but when you joined up some church somewhere or joined up some creed somewhere and the Lord let this word begin to crawl, come across your path, and he began to wash you of Trinitarianism, wash you of women preachers, wash you and loose you of all this nonsense. Amen. And he spread his skirt over and said, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Will you be my wife? Notice what he done in verse 10 after he washed her and cleaned her up and then anointed her with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin. She had on her feet the same thing the tabernacle was made of on the outside. So her and God was wearing the same stuff. This is why you're accepted. This is why you're accepted. Because you and Jesus are wearing the same clothes. Can you overcome your thoughts? Can you overcome your knowledge of yourself? Can you overcome? And to believe this is true. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets on thy hands and a chain on thy neck. I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. Thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey, and all that was exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Can you believe every move that God sent to this earth, whether it was Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, or whoever, every one of them in their degree fell right into every one of these scriptures. God raised them up and God gave them a message and God blessed them and God done this and that and the other. And if you'll read the rest of it, we'll spare it to save time. If you'll read the rest of them, that's the way all the direction of the denominations went. Are we going the same way? God's blessed us. God's raised us up as message people and sent us a prophet. He didn't send us a reformer. He sent us a prophet. Are we going to go like the rest of them? Are we going to go like the way of the world and sell out everything that we are? I can only answer for myself tonight. I say no. I say no. I will not go back. I will not give my gold and my silver and my embroidery and my garments and my oil to the world. I'll sell, not sell my gift to Pentecost. I'll not prostitute what God has given me to the people of the world. I want to give it to my King and my King alone. Notice in verse 14, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Now here we come to the wedding procession. She is now being carried about in Solomon's little bed, small bed, bier, B-I-E-R, matada, palanquin. And they look at her. And they see her because the curtains are sheer enough where you could see royal people's face. And it wasn't in a chair setting up, but it was more laid back. Like they would lay back like this and recline on the soft cushions and pillows. Boy, she was acting like somebody. She was all reclined. Why? She's resting in God's provided place. She wasn't sitting up. Anybody bring my Zantac? Anybody bring my Lortabs? Oh God, I don't think I can go through with this. I want to be back there in the world. No. Oh God, I wish I could go back out there in the world. There ain't a bride member around this world that thinks that way. If you think that way, you need to get saved. You need a good Holy Ghost dose. Notice what they say. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? The wilderness in which she had been banished, which she had been birthed, which she had been brought up into. But the king was bringing her out. You see, there was a wilderness between the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. But now that wilderness is being put behind her. The mark of a true Christian, my friends, is this thing. They're constantly searching for that better country. Not bigger houses, more money, more this, that, and the other. They got leaving on their mind. This ascending of the church out of the wilderness was reflected by Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. Exodus 33:16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us. Oh my. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. If you're going to go with us, we'll be separate. We'll come out. Now watch, they're standing there looking. They said, who is this? Somebody said, it's a girl from Galilee. Can anything good come out of there? Oh my Lord. Oh, I can't believe he'd marry somebody from there. Mama, he turned down my daughter. Can you believe that? He turned her down, and she's been raised in the message. She cut her teeth on a message pew. Of course, she don't believe in preachers. She don't believe in the Holy Ghost. Who'd want to marry in a outfit like that? Woo! Come on, Brother Donnie, preach. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Clouds of fragrant spices were being burned around her. Imagine all around her as they come with a palanquin. There's people in front, to the sides, and behind. And they're burning this incense, frankincense, and myrrh. All this coming from the merchant. Singular. So they look at me. They say, Lord, have mercy. Is that somebody's house on fire? Where in the world is all that smoke coming from? It's the bride. This incense is being offered all around her. She's smelling so beautiful because of his divine presence. And then her prayers are coming right up with it. She's on fire. Glory! I would that you were cold. I want to be on fire, brother. I want to be on fire. I want pillars of smoke all around me. Oh, cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke. Isn't it amazing how that works? What pillars of smoke do? Pillars of smoke automatically, by God's design, have this built in them. Now, they don't have a compass, and they don't have any way to be able to project or program direction, but they most always go up. as she's ascending, glory to God, so is this around her ascending up. So these pillars of smoke are ascending. It's the ascension of the bride. Lord God, hallelujah, children. Can't you see why we must go on and on and on in this word? Don't think we're just sitting here hearing another sermon. This just ain't another Saturday night. God, come in here tonight with a special anointing in order to make us ascend a little higher. Why, amen, that His great perfume around our lives would cause us to ascend. So they are constant and continuous in their ascension. Smoke from your chimney if you have one. Smoke from your wood stove. Pretty much, you know how it is. Whenever it's at the list of barometric pressure is a certain place, and you'll find it hanging over a place, even at that, when the barometric pressure changes, there's something in it that it will rise. So here she's been seen. She's been smelt. Oh, glory to God. She's being identified. Lord, have mercy. Don't this belong in the temple? God. You mean that? They are offering incense. Why? Why? She's fixing to become the temple of Solomon. Her body is going to become Solomon's temple. You see, the spiritual life of a believer is constantly ascending. It does not mean that the life of that believer cannot be affected by atmosphere and wind. A strong wind can come through and you got a fire going, the pillars, the smoke is going up this way. What will a strong wind do? That strong wind will bend it over and flatten it out, right? But once the wind passes, the smoke still starts back up. Sometimes that's what we are, Brother Tom. Things happen in life. We don't understand what's going on. Oh, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I'm on this ascension higher and higher. I want to be more and more. And all of a sudden, a wind will come through and nearly knock you down. Knock you flat on your back as it was. You say, Lord, what in the world is going on? Bear with it, friend. The wind will pass. And when the wind passes, you'll resume your journey upward. Hallelujah. Let the trials come. Let the troubles come. And the winds will blow. And the winds of doctrine will come. And they will come and go. They will pass, but it will not stop you. It may slow you down, but it will not stop you in your heavenly ascension. You are going back to where you came from. Amen! You are going back. It is your ascension. Satan cannot stop you. Who is this? Who is this? That cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke. Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. With all the powders of the merchant. Singular. Perfumed. You believers have this great, great access to this divine perfume. Amen. Old Spice can't touch it. Chanel number 5, trash. This perfume came from the merchant himself. Now remember, they're heading to the marriage. This is where she's going. She's going. The Shulamite is going to meet Solomon and they're fixing to get married. Chapter 4, verse 1 is the first verse of the wedding night. So here she comes. She's all beautifully dressed. And she's got this smell about her. She's perfumed. Now, there ain't no way in the world a shepherd boy or a shepherd girl could have even afforded frankincense or myrrh. It was so expensive. But no price is too great for the King of Kings. The devil was so poor, he couldn't redeem to me. I don't care what. He didn't have enough. He ain't got no heaven to take you to. He ain't got no healing to give you. He ain't got no joy. He don't even love his own people. Satan ain't love. We find no scripture where the Bible even says that Satan does love. God is love. He's no redeemer. He's no savior. He's no healer. Come on, children. Amen. You're not only saved, but you smell good. Notice, so the believers are wrapped in the garment of the older brother. You see, when Rebecca got this plan in her mind to get Jacob the birthright. Remember? The scripture says she had Esau's garments in her tent. And they kept them all spiced and smelling a certain way. So she gave to Jacob the older brother's garment. So when Jacob comes into his blind daddy, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field. The devil may tell you you stink like a polecat. He may want to remind you of your past and remind you of your shortcomings, but God said, oh, I love it. Oh, you smell so beautiful. You smell like the older brother. I kept this garment. I kept this garment in my trash to predestination. And amen, not like Esau that could come down and die for Jacob, but I sent my son, I came myself. He became your older brother and gave you a garment that you could put that garment on. And when you come in my presence, I don't smell you, I don't hear you, I don't see you. I smell the older brother. I hear the older brother. Let me close. Notice in Exodus 34, the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices, stacte, unkna, galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, and each of them shall be of like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary. Tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet thee there. And it shall be unto you most holy. And as the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make it in the denominations to yourselves. You shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be holy. So you imagine every priest that went in there to do service to God, they all smell the same. Now when he'd come out, he'd take his priest garments off. Well, if you didn't know who he was, you'd know who he was. I smelled him. He still had that smell in his everyday walk. I don't want to smell like a saint on Sunday morning, do you? Oh, Brother Don, he smells just like a beautiful bouquet of Christian flowers. And then on Monday, he smells like a polecat. I want to walk every day. Whether I've got a suit on or a tie on makes no difference. I want my walk to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. The composition that can only come, amen, through the art of the original apothecary.
Let me close. Notice what Brother Bram says. Notice, what does smell do? A smell. Women put perfume on themselves for a pleasant. A man puts aftershave stuff on sometimes like that. That odors, foul odors, would be taken away from you. When you walk into the presence of someone with body odors or something or another, perfumes is to take that odor away.
so that you're in the presence of that person, you might not be foul. It's unbearable. That's what perfumes and soaps has odors in it. And you wash with soap or talcum powders or whatever. That's what it's used for. Now notice, amen, I just feel good. Jesus, he was a rose of Sharon, and he was offered to God as a sweet-smelling Savior. And then when we become unbearable before God, excuse this expression, so stinky, see, that our sins and things are so bad and so foul, then we come to Calvary. Oh, glory! And the lily or any flower before perfume can be made. You take a flower, it's beautiful, big morning lily or rose. The rose of Sharon is a beautiful flower while it's living. It's beautiful, but to get odor out of that, to get a perfume, it has to be crushed. And they crush it and squeeze the perfume out. You see, Christ, when he was on the earth, he was beautiful. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. His life was never compared. Amen to that. He was beautiful, but to make it when God looked down and said, this is my beloved son and whom I'm well pleased. See, your sacrifices become a stink under my nose. But to make us well pleased to God, to make us well pleased to God, he had to become crushed on Calvary, and the sin of this world had to be squeezed out the life out of him, and he died bearing the sins of the world that we might be anointed with the rose of Sharon. He was the lily of the valley. He was wounded for our transgressions, a sweet-smelling Savior. By his stripes we are healed. The lily of the valley, give us that opium to ease our sickness and pain. What a marvelous picture. So here they come. The procession is getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. Chapter 3, verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. How peculiar. Now we go from describing the bride, who is this, and all this smoke and all this carrying on going on. And now we go to this very next verse. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. Should I tell you or should I wait? Y'all right now is fixing to stone me, ain't you? I'll share it with you and we'll pick it up in the morning. Don't you see what he had done? The word bed in the Hebrew is matah. It means couch, bed, or bier. It's a small one. A small carrying size bed that they would lay back on. He had sent this after her. Glory to God. Children, he's provided everything. Don't worry. You need rapture and faith? It'll be here. You need a new body? It'll be here. The degrees of status are so great apart, he would not go himself. Now listen, he did not come down himself to where she was. But he sent his bed. And he sent his own bodyguards. 60 bodyguards, apostles, prophets, evangelists. Praise God. So here they go down to the lower part of Galilee. And she already knows when he's coming today, right about the hour. So you imagine, here comes this great entourage. They're bearing this beautiful thing. She'd never seen nothing like it in her life. Country folks, all them people down there looking, say, Lord have mercy, look at that. It's got gold and purple. Most of them probably never even seen purple.
It's from Tyre, the city we read about Wednesday night. It comes from the shellfish, which had taken, break up the shells, took hundreds of them just to make a few ounces of the purple from the purple mollusk of Tyre. They'd never even seen it. But they send it down there. Who's it for? The little country girl. Praise God. Soon and very soon, rapturing power is going to come into this earth. Who's it gathering? Tennessee hillbillies? Africans, New Zealands, Australians? Glory to God. Let's stand together. Let's read this other verse. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men about it. What in the world would you want to send them guys for? They're carrying the most precious cargo in all of Israel. It's about 50 miles from Shunem, which is where she's from. 50 miles from Shunem to Jerusalem. Going to be a couple days' journey, plus at least one night, if not two. So she's traveling in the heat and in the darkness, in difficult times. But she can rest because the bodyguards are there. Glory to God. Glory to God. The word metah comes from the root word, which means to stretch out. Remember the boy in the New Testament that had died, and Jesus had come through, and they was carrying him out to bury him on the bier, as they called it? Well, this is similar to that. Except this one was life and that one was death. Sort of like a cot or something, we'd say today. So she's stretching out, or she's going to, and she's going to be watched over. Let me tell you something, friends. You are a camp of Mahanaim. Many of you don't remember that name. But it's when Jacob went out to pray and he felt he was fixing to be slaughtered. And the Spirit of God revealed his presence to Jacob. And he called that place Mahanaim, which means the two camps. So there was an angelic camp and an earthly camp. You're double guarded by angels and by God called men. Why? You are precious cargo. He sent his own bed to get her. She had probably never sat in such a fine piece in her life. But the king wanted her to ride back in style. There's only a few folks that's ever flew in this class. I flew overseas a lot of times, and generally first class or business class is just way too expensive. Me and Carol and Erica, before Erica got married several years ago, we flew to South Africa, and I had enough flying miles that Erica and Carol could go with me. So I used those flying miles. I bought my ticket, economy. Well, they didn't have two more seats in economy class, so Carol and Erica got to fly business. Up dikes. Big wide seats, big long room to stretch out. 19 and a half hours from Atlanta to Johannesburg. One plane, no stops. The next morning, I'm dragging out. There is fresh. I about got mad. Can you believe that? Was on the same plane.
but the class they were sitting in. And they wasn't even in first class. Now that ticket, if I would have purchased it for them, was $12,000 each. First class was $20,000. Mine was $1,900 in economy. That's why I fly economy. But there's a few times that I've got boosted up. As a matter of fact, on that trip coming back, I got boosted up. Stewardess came back and said, me and another man sitting there, we need two seats together. I'll boost you all up to business class if you'll let us have your seat. I said, I dread it, but I'll do it. But I was in economy the rest of the way. Just on that leg of the trip. There's only been a few folks that have ever flown in rapture class. United don't have it. US Air don't have it. Delta don't have it. Lufthansa. It's God Air. Glory! We wasn't even worthy to be hauled about in the cargo dump. We wasn't even worthy to be hauled in the lowest place. But God, by His grace, boosted us up to rapture class. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad, friend? This is not our doing. You see, it's not Brother Branham's reputation on the line. It's not mine. It's God's. And God ain't worried about it. He's provided everything you need to leave this world. Your guards are here. Your protection is here. The message you need is here. The very ability, the power that will raise you up is in you tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we desire to overcome our doubts, overcome our haunting memories of our past, our shortcomings, to overcome those things which we know about ourselves, those weaknesses and frailties and whatever more. Lord Jesus, help us. What this little girl must have went through, this 50-mile journey, how many times did she get scared? Maybe in the first night it stopped, she thought, what am I doing? I can't believe this is me. I'll never fit in that kind of life. How can I be doing this? Maybe I should run out of here. But it was a destiny calling her. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Many times that we have turned and said, I'm not worthy, I'm not fit for it. But our destiny was calling us. Our destiny called us beyond Galilee. Our destiny called us beyond the abuse of our brothers. It called us beyond those that abused us. Our mother's children. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there's one here tonight, I pray, Father, that's not doing right, not doing the things they should do. Help them, I pray, Lord. I pray for encouragement for your children tonight, Lord. Strength. Oh, Jesus. Anoint our lives with your perfume, Lord. May the pillars of smoke come around us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the bodyguards that are sent to watch over the flock of God. I believe, Lord, there's men of God on this earth today that'll cut and slice and defy and do whatever's necessary to stand in their lot, to keep the children of God from false doctrine, error, from sin, whatever more. Not to be mean, not to be indifferent, but they are sent. Hallelujah. With the king's palanquin. They are sent with the king's palanquin, his bed, in order to escort the bride back into the king's presence. They will give their lives if necessary. They have been personally charged by the king himself. Watch my wife. Protect her. Protect her. Withstand evil spirits. Withstand wrong that tries to come around her. If you see her go to getting off in sin, take that sword. Chop the head off that devil. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Father. Oh, Lamb of God, we bless your name, Lord. Father, I pray for the meeting tonight out in Tucson. They're a couple hours behind us, Lord. Brother Darrell's going to be preaching and then having a prayer line. I pray the hand of God will go before them there, Lord. May your presence move among the people, Lord. May you bring healings and deliverance, Father. If an evil thing, a sickness, a disease got a hold of one of your children, Lord, may Brother Darrell stand there with a sword of faith and cut that spirit away from your children, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Not only them saints in Tucson, but right here tonight among us, Lord. Those that are streaming this service, we believe the mighty God is right here tonight. Lord God, I believe standing right here with me, Lord, is men of God, soldiers, valiant men. May we take our swords, Lord. Cut back the evil. Cut back the sickness, the disease, the sin off of your people, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May we rest. May we rest in the bier of the King. The guardians are around us. Hallelujah. They're sent to protect us. We can lay back and rest. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As the smoke arouses around up around our lives, we can look down to the older brother's garment and know when we walk up before the King, we will be accepted. Glory be to God, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we bless your name, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. Glory to God. Glory to God. We think as she did. Who are we? Who are we that we would be invited to the marriage? Just to be guests would be an honor. But we're not the guest. We're the wife. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, children, can we just raise our hands? The presence of the King. Glory to God. You see, our Lord Jesus won't come to this earth to meet us. Actually, we'll meet him between his home and ours. We'll meet him in the heavens where they've expanded to redeem us. He won't set his feet on the earth, but through the ministry of the hour, the word of God being preached, reiterating what Malachi 4 has already said, that'll pack you right into the presence of God. Praise be to God. Oh, rest, little bride. Rest. Look around you. The purple, the gold, the silver speaks of your redemption. The gold, the floor, the foundation of the palanquin speaks of his deity. Hallelujah. The purple all around you. The top covered in purple. The shades on the sides. It's his love for you. It's his mercy. Rest, my daughter. Rest, my daughter. The valiant men around you will guard you day and night. And if they were to slip, the angels of God in the dimension above will be there to catch you if you are to falter. You are the choice of the mighty God. You are his purpose and reason of being. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, blessed Jesus. Oh, my, I feel a heavenly language. My. Lord God, Adonai, we bless you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We worship you tonight, living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Take our fear away. Forgive us for worrying. Forgive us for doubting. Forgive us for being fearful. All we got to do is look at the men you've placed around us. The angels of God that are here to protect us. You're watching out over your own, Father. May we just ride along on this palanquin of the Almighty. Glory be to God. Oh, Jesus, I bless your name. Jesus, I bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How could us, being naive, simple, lack of understanding, no great eloquence, we are black, as it were, tanned by the original sin, tainted, Lord, by abuse of churches and preachers and whatever more. We're not fair-skinned like many of the others, yet we have caught the attention of the King. And we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back to that old life. We don't want to go back to Galilee no more. Because we are fixing to become the temple of Adonai. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For there He will not take life, but He will impart life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Don't you love Him, children, with all your heart? Oh, let's just make love to Him now with all of our hearts. We're in the presence of the great King. You imagine the anticipation of the little Shulamite. As she knows she's getting closer, and they cross the Jordan. The palanquin, they keep the palanquin above the water, and the bearers on either side. Four was the number to carry. Of course, four is the number of earthly deliverance. 60 bodyguards all around her. They tell her, "Your ladyship, we're crossing the River Jordan. We're just a bit away from Jerusalem." Imagine her little heart beating. Oh, glory to God, the way ours does when we sense His presence. Oh, glory to God, our heart begins to beat within us. We sense it is here. Glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, little maiden of Galilee. Little maiden of Galilee. He loves you. He called you. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He wrote your name in the palm of His hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. For His love is better than wine. Come, my love, my fair one. The time of the winter is past. The time of the turtle doves is in the air, the singing. Come, my love. Come, my love. Can't you see what she had done? As it moves over into chapter 4 and over into chapter 5, she had such an influence on his life. Now he starts living the country life. So what's he do? He makes a future home on the earth. Glory to God. Oh, we'll go to heaven for the marriage supper, but we ain't going to stay there. We're coming back to your home. Glory to God. We're coming back to your home. Thank you, Lord. There'll be gardens and parks and freeways. The tree of life blooming in every yard. Hallelujah. You have brought him down to your place. Lord Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Make it real to us, Father. Help us to overcome our fears. Help us to overcome our humanity. That we can accept and believe what you're saying to us tonight, Lord. Help me, Lord, to overcome me, that I can believe what I've heard. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We bless your name. Oh, children, let's not be in any hurry. We're in the presence of the King. My, to have been in Solomon's presence, can you imagine? The Queen of Sheba came and saw this man. And she saw his splendor and his glory. And she left speechless. She was overwhelmed. The queen of Sheba. And this maid from Galilee took his heart. She saw his splendor. The queen of Sheba did. But the maiden from Galilee got his heart. The denominations can do this and that and the other, and great big old churches and this and that. I want his heart. I want his heart. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord, with all of my soul. I worship you, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. We can just lay back in the matara and enjoy our journey into the presence of the King. Oh, Lord God. If the marriage of Solomon to the Shulamite was so wonderful, I cannot imagine what the marriage supper of the Lamb would be. The trumpets must have blown. The bands or whatever more was sounding their horns and the ram's horns and the singers were singing. The bodyguards were at attention. The army was all gathered. Guests from all over the provinces, from different parts of the world, no doubt were there. What will it be when we walk into that great dimension and you introduce us to the angels of God? As the angels stand there in awe, and you introduce us to cherubims and seraphims and zooms and whatever more, those beings which still would exist, and you would say to them, "This is my sweetheart." Oh God, this is my bride. And they bow their heads, as it were, in awe and reverence. They were sent to watch over us. They were sent to help us so many times to minister to the heirs of righteousness. Yet this is their first time to see us in glorified bodies. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. I bless you, mighty God. Fill my mouth with words which can utter back divine praise. I'm just a country boy, Lord. Just a hick. Lord, I ain't educated. I ain't smart. Let me say from my heart, Lord, I love you. I love you. I want to please you. I want to serve you. I want to give to you that which you desire, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We bless your name. You are worthy, Lord. We love your name. You have perfumed us, Lord. We're in your matar, coming back to Jerusalem, preparing for the ceremony when we will be yours. Arise, my love, come away. Arise, my love, come away. You are my fair one. Arise.
lies my love. Sweet love, come away. I rescued you from a life of bondage. The sun had so bleached you, and it made you so hard. Hallelujah. I, in my mercy, you remember when I washed you.
Glory!
By my blood, I took your sins far away. And I say, arise, my love. Arise, my love. Come away, my fair one. The seven thunders have shouted. The voices have been revealed. I sent my prophet messenger to reveal it in the seven seals. You heard from your theophany. When you recognized this message was evil food, and you left the other thing, now you're sitting in my room.
Glory!
Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Larry, let's sing One Night with the King. Like Esther, like Ruth, like the Shulamite, like so many women in the Bible, you have been called and graced by God to be who you are. Your destiny is to be with the King. It's not to be a servant. You're not called to be a kitchen maid. You're not called to clean out the closets. You're called to sit on a throne. Oh, praise God. Let's sing it together, can we? One night with the King changes every scene. Yes, Lord. One day in His courts did forever change my course. I've never
in the same one night with the King truly changes everything. Oh, don't you love Him? How many knows that's the truth tonight? Can you remember that one night, one morning, noon, whatever it was, that something got a hold to you and you have never been the same? Let's sing it again. Everybody together now. Let's just make love to our Lord. One night with the King, yes, Lord Jesus, changes it. Oh, Jesus, we worship You tonight, Father. One day in His course did forever change my course. Just one moment in His presence. Oh, I've never been the same. One night truly changes everything. Brother, this thing leaving on my mind. We got a baptism tonight. A brother and sister is going to be baptized. If they'll come, prepare for that. Let's just keep this spirit of worship while they're preparing for that. Oh my. The more I hear about this place, the more I have leaving on my mind. I don't know about you. Friends, the world's in a mess. You know as well as I do, our nation's in a mess. I don't know when our nation's ever been so divided. Politics and just all kinds of stuff going on everywhere. There's so much stuff going on in the world, stuff going on in the message. It's just unbelievable. All the stuff that's going on everywhere. The world is falling apart. And we're getting ready to leave. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing it together. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Amen. It seems that's all I'm thinking about so much of the time. Now that soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. Lately I've got leaving on my mind. Let's sing that first verse together. The old house that I'm living in is needing repair. The windows and the shutters, they're letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself, gonna fix them when I find the time. But oh, I'm getting lately is leaving on my mind. How many feels that way tonight? Praise God. Let's sing it now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. I just wonder, after the Shulamite become espoused, if we could have went to her house and said, hey, little girl, what you got on your mind here lately? Since you got, I hear you got engaged to Solomon. What you got on your mind? You got Galilee on your mind? You got your mean brothers on your mind? I imagine she could sing the same thing. Lately, all I've got on my mind is leaving here. How that soon, I'm very soon I'll leave. Amen. My troubles fall behind. Oh, praise God, bride. Lately, I've got leaving. Yes, Lord. Amen. Let's sing it again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I've got his leaving. All I'm thinking about, oh, so much of my time, how that soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. Oh God, hallelujah, God leave. Lord, my mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This is Sister Tiffany Woodfin. She's a friend of Dan and Judy Dyer. She, little short background, she has come to church several years ago and actually was baptized here. And then I think she moved down to Alabama and kind of got away from the Lord. But now she wants to come back to the Lord and renew her faith and desire to be rebaptized and kind of do her first works over, you might say. She give her heart to the Lord. She wants to serve the Lord now. And she just actually recently married Brother Philip, which we're going to baptize next. And we know that, unless the Holy Ghost draws you, you really can't sincerely come to Christ, you know. So as we read tonight, draw me and we'll run after thee. Right. So we thank the Lord that he's drawn her back. You know, in this very, very late hour, it was gleaning back years ago, even when Brother Raymond, 50, 60 years ago, was gleaning. Well, what about now? But just, we're so happy just to see even one that would come in or one that would come back to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about, is to see those, because there's, where the time is just so close. So as we pray, let's bow our heads and we pray for Sister Tiffany. Heavenly Father, as we just come to you now in prayer, we're thankful, Lord, for her desire to come back to you, to serve you, Lord. Father, this is church. It's a soul-saving station. It's a place that we can, like a hospital, where we can find peace and rest and nurture for our souls. Lord, we need those spiritual vitamins to be able to handle that two-edged sword. And Lord, it was said tonight, Lord, if we can just take the Word of God and we can just go run after you, and we can we desire to have that relationship, that one-on-one spiritual relationship as husband and wife, as Song of Solomon, as we just heard tonight, have been heard for months. Lord, let that be with her, that she desires to run after you now. She's ran after some of the things of the world, but now she wants to run after you. Grant it, Lord. May it be a new life. The oldness is dead. The old life is dead. May this be a newness of life as we baptize her into your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Father.
And Lord, also what I'm praying, Father, talking with them and talking with Brother Philip, they both have confess, Lord, or profess of having the Holy Ghost. We just pray, dear God, that whatever portion they may have now, that you'll increase that and
increase their understanding and revelation, to bring them to that point of full maturity, to a word birth and being fully sealed into the kingdom, whatever point they might be at their life right now, Lord, that's what we desire, that you bring them into that full revelation of the present day truth, word for the hour. We ask, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sister Tiffany, on the confession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Brother Philip. This is Brother Philip Whitfin, and not only he was actually, I think, raised apostolic, and he has understanding of the apostolic movement, and of course the apostolic is kind of closest to the message, and so she introduced him to the message, and he just believes what he'd heard, and he wants to come all the way in, and he's just thankful that God sent a messenger, and he's trying more to understand and receive, the word of the Lord for this hour. And actually, he's a newlywed that got married 2 or 3 weeks ago, so he wants to just have this family start off right, serving the Lord, and that's the only way that you can have a correct family is both of them be Christians, So that's what he desires, and he wants to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, obey the word of God, and have the fullness of the Spirit of God in his life. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for our brother and his wife. They've come forward now. They want to serve you, Lord, in this very late hour where we were just listening to the sixth seal this afternoon, and the prophet God saying that sixth seal, which is a total interruption of nature, and a great earthquake, and all these interruption of nature, those two prophets of Revelation 11 will bring to pass. But Lord, we see the unusual, the weather and the nature is going to extremes now. Lord, we believe it's just a slow transition, or maybe even a rapid transition into that sixth seal. We're so close. We're really, really that close. Lord, to see that it's yet gleaning time, like I said, we're so thankful that Brother Philip has come in. I pray, Lord, as we baptize him in water, Lord, that you just take him on to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that's his desire, to have that eternal seal upon his heart. Lord, we ask that you grant these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Brother Philip, on the profession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Aaron, come sing something for us as we close. Having said, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Lord, Lord willing, we'll gather in the morning. We'll bring her right on up in the procession. Bring her into the presence of Solomon. We have some wonderful things, I can tell you. If I wasn't tired, I'd go ahead and preach it right now. Oh my, I tell you, I've sat under the anointing today, believe it or not. I've sat under the anointing today for about 10 hours or so. Just the word coming, just scriptures, just, I was wore out before I started tonight. I was so exhausted from the presence of God, but I love it. I love it. Don't you love his presence? Oh my. But now
go.